For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, December the 27th, 1982. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. John Corder is the speaker of the evening.
Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate and thank you for your offering. And we'll take it to the Lord and thank Him for it and bless Him for it. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I come tonight and I thank you for your presence. I thank you for this offering that's been given into our hands from these your people. And I bring it to Jesus and present it unto Him as our high priest. It's an offering on the altar before you. Now, Father, as I take it and as I become steward over it and responsible for it, give me wisdom, Lord. Give me understanding. Help me, Lord, to use it wisely and to disperse it, Lord, with wisdom. I thank you for multiplying it, Father. And I pray for it. I thank you for multiplying to meet every need. I thank you, Lord, for supplying the finances. Father, I thank you for supplying the finances to clear this piece of property. I praise you for it, Lord. I speak it into existence, Lord, that we shall... And I thank you for the finances to do it with, Father. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Now, Father, bless these, your people who have contributed and given tonight for support here. Lord, let the anointing of the Lord bless, rest over them. Move by your Spirit, Lord, upon their hearts and lives. Draw them closer to thee. Give them a greater understanding of your word. Give them a desire and determination to serve you, Lord, as they've never served you before. Move, Lord, and guide and direct it, that you may be Lord of every situation of their lives. And I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Bless them, Lord, in their finances. Bless them in their secular things, Lord. And bless them, Lord, in their families, Lord. Let the anointing of the Lord rest over each household. May the joy and the glory of the Lord be theirs in this coming year. And I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Now, Father, I pray the anointing and the blessing of the Lord over Brother Corder this evening as he comes and steps forth here to minister the word of the Lord and stands forth to declare, thus saith the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your anointing at rest on this young man. Thank you for the wisdom that you're giving him and the discernment and understanding of your word and the hour that we live in. I praise you for him to be able to express and bring that unto us tonight, that you may be glorified in all that's done. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Don Corder, the Lord bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm refreshed. How about you? Amen. It's a joy to be serving God in this hour. Joy to be serving God in this hour. It's an hour of anticipation, not looking back to what God has done, not even looking at what He is doing, but what we know He has promised to do. Amen? It's just good to be serving God in this hour. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of proclaiming your word. You've made us the stewards of your word, the keepers of your house. You've made us temples of your precious Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you that as your word goes forth this night, that you will minister it to every one of our lives, touch our hearts, cause us to be changed and brought more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I started to say something this afternoon that I really never did complete. The word reminded me that I never had completed what I started at one point. And so we'll start there tonight. Many things have taken place in the circles of the Spirit-baptized church in the last 20 or 30 or even 40 years. We've seen a lot of things come and go. Some things have come and stayed. Some things have come and gone. But I saw that many people were hurt, were disappointed, were discouraged with a lot of extreme teaching that came. But I also saw that because the teaching was extreme, the practical principles of that teaching were solidly based upon God's Word. But the enemy came in, brought deception into that, and many people rejected the entire teaching, such as faith, such as divine healing and walking in divine health, such as prosperity. God's Word has things to say about all of those things. But let me ask a question, because as I meet different bodies around the country, and you're kind of a mixed multitude from a lot of places in the country, how many of you have been hurt or offended by some of the extreme teaching? I just want to see your hands. I want you to be honest. Okay. What I want to share with you tonight is something that has been propounded throughout all. This has been an overriding theme of everything that has been said. But yet a real grasp of the subject has really not touched home to our hearts. I want to share with you tonight concerning the Lordship of Jesus. The Lordship of Jesus. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans, the 14th chapter. What I'm saying is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You've heard that expression. Simply, rightly divide the word of truth. Rightly divide the word of truth. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Romans 14, 7. Verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. As we begin to think about the Lordship of Jesus, we can begin to think about the character of the man Jesus. For the character of a man determines the character of every man and every woman under his authority. I served in the United States Army during the Vietnam crisis, the Vietnam War, whatever you might want to call it. I served under a number of different commanding officers. And it was interesting to note that each unit took on the character of their commanding officer. If he was slipshod, everybody was slipshod. If he was a diligent man, everyone was diligent. Every army has a commander. Every navy has an admiral. Every ship has a captain. Every kingdom has a king. Every home has a head. On and on we could go. One of the things that the enemy has tried to do in the Spirit-filled church in the last number of years was to rob God's people of their victory. Legitimate things were being revealed from the Word of God. They went into tangents. Everything became a tangent. Everybody became a puppet of what somebody else had said. Victory, let's define it. Victory is the ability to conquer, to overcome, to prevail in all of life's situations. And victory can confidently be expected for those who submit unreservedly to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I submit to you tonight that we will never walk in victory until we submit to the Lordship of Jesus. We put it on the bumper sticker of our car. Jesus is Lord. And then when somebody in another car aggravates us because of the way they drive, we get aggravated. Yet we have Jesus is Lord on our bumper. If Jesus were Lord, would the reaction really be that? For that very reason, I removed the bumper stickers from my car until I got myself lined up to where I was worthy to bear his name on my automobile. Hello. I really didn't do it in pride. I did it in humility. And you know what? The Lord has given me absolute victory over that horn. I'm telling you. I've used my horn maybe once in the last 2 years. It was when a lady, I was trying to get her attention. I was not blowing at her. I was trying to get her attention. I had a left turn signal, and she was in the far lane coming straight, and I had a left turn, and I was heading out to the left turn. Here she came. And I was simply trying to get her attention to try to avoid the confrontation. But as far as blowing my horn when somebody in front of me is a little slow getting started, when the light turns green, I have learned to submit and very patiently wait, even if they're reading the newspaper. Well, what did we read this morning, this afternoon? For you need a patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have to start somewhere in making Jesus of your life. Why not start at home? My children and my wife know me better than everyone else. If I can't be Lord of my home, how can I be Lord and shepherd of a flock and an under-shepherd? Be the ruler of my own spiritual house, how can I help be ruler over God's heritage? Are you following me tonight? God has had me in his woodshed a lot lately. Let's look at some things. Number one, let's look at the basis of the Lordship of Jesus. If you're taking notes, that's point number one. The basis of the Lordship of Jesus. The fact of his Lordship is declared in the Word of God. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We'll be searching the Scriptures tonight. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read in verse 32. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What was it that pricked their hearts? In verse 36, Peter said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified and Christ. He says, now when they heard this, God here, through the voice of Peter, after Peter had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, God declared Jesus Lord. Therefore, he is Lord, whether mankind ever recognizes that fact or not. He's Lord. You know, when the doctrine went around here a number of years ago that God was dead, you know, that didn't bother God at all. I mean, he didn't even wiggle on his throne. Didn't bother him a bit. You know, I've got a question. If I were ever to meet Mrs. Madeline Murray O'Hare, I have a question for her. And I believe a legitimate question. She is spending her whole life fighting against a God whom she says does not exist. I mean, if there is no God, what's the problem? The very fact that she's fighting against God is a realization that in her heart she knows there is one. So why would you have to spend your whole life fighting against something that doesn't exist? I mean, that's sheer stupidity. Really, I mean, to fight against something that does not even exist. See, God has made Jesus Christ Lord. And that disturbs people still, yet it still pricks people's hearts. Lord simply means supreme ruler, master, owner. Do you really know what you're saying when you say, Jesus is Lord, or when we sing, he is Lord? It's a good confession. Amen. But we need to have an understanding of truly making Jesus Lord of our life. Not only is the fact of his lordship declared in the Word of God, his position of lordship is richly deserved. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Philippians 2, 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, who has been made Lord, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now we can make the statement, Jesus is Lord. But we need to take it a step further. Jesus is Lord of my life. That means that he is the supreme ruler. He is the master. He is the owner of my life. That means that everything I do, everything I am, everything I expect to be, is directed by his lordship. Not directed by my own sense of worth, my own desire to attain, but everything is directed from the right hand of the Father, the throne of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich. Well, that's one way of expressing his equality with God. Yet for your sakes he became poor. If you compare the position of Jesus prior to his incarnation to what it was after his incarnation, he went from riches to poverty. Did he not? From the very throne of God to the dust of the earth, to walk the shores of Galilee, there along Palestine. That ye, through his poverty, might be rich. We just trade places. That ye, through his poverty, his humility, his submission to God to become the Christ, that you might be rich. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, is an interesting verse. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. Genesis 49:10 reads, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, or a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The word Shiloh in the Hebrew means he whose right it is. Until he whose right it is shall come. God's chosen man down through the years. The first man that God gave the scepter to was Adam. The scepter of the kingdom. Then that scepter passed to Abraham. Here in Genesis it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, until he whose right it is, shall come. He has a right to the scepter of the kingdom. Did you hear me? Jesus has a right to the scepter of the kingdom. Calvary entitled him the scepter of the kingdom. A scepter is that authority and power given to a king to rule in his kingdom. When he is crowned king, he's not only given a crown, but he's given a scepter. And you remember when Esther went in before the king, it depended on what the king did with his scepter whether she lived or died. And then, if he granted her reprieve that she might come into his presence, or if he did a certain thing with his scepter, her head would be taken. And she knew that. The scepter was the authority of his kingdom. The scepter is the authority of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53. Scriptures that we are familiar with, yet from maybe a different context. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6, showing us that he did have a right to the scepter of the kingdom. Surely he hath borne our griefs. The Hebrew word there is sicknesses. Every place else in the Old Covenant, it's translated sicknesses. And carried our sorrows, or the Hebrew says pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus took your place. He deserves to be your Lord. We have no argument not to make him Lord. Amen? The objective, one of the objectives of Jesus' death and resurrection was the winning of undisputed lordship over those for whom. What do you owe, or to whom do you owe your eternal existence? Jesus. Jesus. You see, we say it so often, Jesus is Lord. But do we know what it cost Jesus to become Lord? Turn back to Romans 14:9, where we started. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord, both of the dead and living. One of the purposes of God in redeeming you and me back to himself through the blood and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was that Jesus would have undisputed lordship over our lives. Are we not aware that the Apostle Paul declares that you are not your own, you are bought with a price? Peter declares that. The Apostle Paul declares the same thing. We're not our own. We have been purchased, bought with a price. Peter says the price is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Do you know that Jesus considered it a joy to purchase your redemption and become your Lord? Look at Hebrews 12, too. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I've come to realize, saints, that to spurn the lordship of Jesus Christ is to trample upon the provision of his blood. If Jesus is truly Lord and Christ, and we go our own way and do our own thing, we are trampling upon his blood. We are trampling upon the very purpose for which he came. He came to be your Lord. He came to be your master. He came to be the supreme ruler of your life. Turn back a couple of chapters to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I mean, those that despise the law, they despise the law, and there were two or three witnesses that could attest to the fact that they despise the law, they killed them. The writer to the Hebrews says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? What is the Son of God? He's Lord. Amen? He is Lord. And in this hour, we must recognize and begin to submit unto the Lordship of Jesus. Lord, not what I will, but what would you will me to do? In Christian circles today, Jesus is hailed as Savior, but ignored as sovereign of their lives. He's hailed as Savior. It's like a wagon wheel, if you can picture with me, an old-fashioned wagon wheel with a big hub center and a lot of spokes. They've made Jesus Savior. The wagon wheel represents their life. They've made Jesus just another spoke in the wheel of their life. When we make him Lord, he's the hub. Everything revolves around him. Let me ask you a question. What do you suppose it would be like if we totally submitted to the Lordship of Jesus and did only that which he would ask us to do and that which we know he would be pleased with? Well, you know that's what we're supposed to be doing anyway. Amen? This is kind of different from this afternoon. This is not one of those hoorah jump and shouters. But praise God. We need to realize some things. So many times we take cliches for granted. I see newsletter after newsletter after newsletter. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Is he really? Are we really submitted and committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Question. Is it possible to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and reject him as Lord? What does James 1:8 say? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You accept Jesus as one thing, but you don't as another, and you become double-minded, and double-mindedness brings instability. It means that your allegiance is divided. You're in the kingdom of light, but your allegiance is divided. You've made Jesus Savior, but you've not made him Lord. Dangerous position. Like I told you, God's taken me to his woodshed. I was saying with my mouth Jesus was Lord, but when Jesus as Lord was requiring some things of me, I cried and I complained. And I was reminded, but you just said he was Lord. Oh, yeah. I don't suppose you've ever done that. I think one of my ministries in the body of Christ is as a reminder-er. I'm just a reminder-er. I come along and remind you of the things that you already really know in one way. And my ministry is just to remind you again, maybe in a little different way. Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Jesus is Lord, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You mean not everybody that's got a bumper sticker on their car that says Jesus is Lord is going to make it into the kingdom of heaven? I didn't say that. Jesus did. If you want to argue with somebody, you're going to have to argue with him. I just read it. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Then you're rejecting Jesus as Lord. Of how much sore punishment do you suppose they will be who trample underfoot the blood of Christ? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. One point of the will of the Father in heaven is that we submit to the Lordship of his Son. That's why he made him Lord. Let's read on. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out demons. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Get them in the name of Jesus. And then, now Jesus is speaking here. Will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They're saying, what is the context of this? They are saying with their mouth, Jesus, your Lord, Jesus, your Lord, using his name, using his power, but never submitting to his Lordship. It's a pretty heavy indictment, isn't it? Amen. Let's read on. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, whose sayings? The sayings of him whom God has made both Lord and Christ. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I submit to you tonight that submission to the Lordship of Jesus will cause your house to stand. Because if you submit to the Lordship of Jesus, you'll be a hearer and a doer of the word. If your house continues to fall, and you're continuing to build on sand and build on sand and build on sand and have to continue to build on sand, you haven't submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Because if you've made him Lord, you're going to hear and do what he says. Telltale signs that we have made him Lord or that we have not made him Lord. Amen? It's very evident. Somebody says, well, Brother Don, what's wrong? It doesn't seem like anything's working. And I'm just, Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto wise men, build his house upon a rock. The house stood firm. The same rain came. The same wind blew. Everything was the same except the foundation. Everything was the same except the foundation. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. It's the foundation that makes the difference. If you submit to the Lordship of Jesus, you don't have to be a whimpering saint. Because the next stage is a pity party. And I've had them, so have you. Say, why do you know so much? I'm not going to tell you. Already did. Well, I'll tell you what. That woodshed experience isn't good. You know, if we enter into obedience, we don't have to go to the woodshed. You know God has a woodshed. You know what I'm talking about? He corrects us as sons. If we hear, I have a rule with my daughters. And boy, people think I'm strong. Oh, they say, oh, he's so mean. He's terrible. I have a rule that when I speak the first time, that they obey. If they don't obey the first time, they get the rock. If I go beyond that, I aggravate them to sin. By my continuing to say, pick up your toys. Pick up your toys. I said, pick up your toys. See, you train them to respond the first time, the second time, the third time. However, I'll tell you what, God speaks one time. If you don't respond, you go with it. He's a very gracious God. But you see, in this hour, I'm learning for my own life, and I kind of have an idea that for a couple of other people, that obedience is not an option. Are you out there? Obedience is not an option. If you hear the word, you become responsible for that word. You know, there's a proverbial shelf. Well, I'm going to put that one on the shelf for a while. He that heareth my words and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man. He that heareth my words and doeth them not, I'll liken him unto a foolish man, and fill his house on the sand. I submit to you tonight that if God places you in a position where you hear the word, he knows you are in a position to begin to do that word. Don't try to make excuses. All you do by your excuses is deny the Lordship of Jesus in your life. What are the implications of the Lordship of Jesus? Now, that's point two. The first one was the basis of his Lordship. Number two is the implications of his Lordship. What are the implications of the Lordship of Jesus in our lives? Well, the first one is entire submission. I cannot have any skeletons in my spiritual closet. I can't take a vacation and let down my hair and sin and then come back home and nobody knows. God knows. You know I did that for so many years? I would do that when I would go on a fast. I'd go on a fast and cheat on myself. Yes, really, I'm serious. I'd go on a fast and go by McDonald's. I'd pull in. I'd say, nobody knows. That's deception. I was deceived. I was playing a game. I don't suppose any of you fasted and then snitched. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the first portion of that verse. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Amplified Version reads, but in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. I quoted that to you from the Amplified Version of the Bible. But in your heart, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Set him apart as holy and make him Lord. Submit to him. One of the reasons I believe that many people have a reservation about submitting to the Lordship of Jesus is they say, I don't know what he's going to ask me to do when I do. He's not going to do you wrong. He's not going to do you wrong. But there's really a fear. That's like the fear of, Lord, have your will. Africa, here we come. What if he wants you in Africa? Submit to Africa. If he wants you anyplace else, simply submit to the will of God. You'll never be happy till you're doing the will of God anyway. You know what I found out? I was born and raised in a denominational church. I was a favorite son in the district that I was raised in. I was one of the youngest men ever ordained. I was one of the youngest men ever to hold district office. I held district office in the Wyoming District Council of the Assemblies of God at 23 years of age. I was a district officer at 23 years of age. That's unheard of. But you know, from the very beginning of all of that, there was just something in me that there was a rebellion in me, and I didn't understand it. The rebellion in me was a good rebellion because I was not fully doing the will of God. I had submitted my life to ministry, yes, but not in the way that God had ordained for me to do it. I've never been freer and never been happier and never had more anointing since I broke the yoke. Amen. Isaiah declared that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Turn it around. It's the yoke that hinders the anointing until the yoke is broken. You know what the word anointing means? Has Brother Chuck Flynn shared that with you? I'm sure he knows. Anointing means fatness. Fatness. A yoke, you've seen a yoke with the two loops in it that goes over the two oxen, the two cows or whatever. Some of you are old enough, you might have hitched them up. But you know what a yoke is? The fatness of the anointing. Just the anointing gets fatter, 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 until the yoke just shatters because of the anointing. How can we have the anointing if we do not submit to the Lordship of Jesus? Can we be out of the will of God and have the anointing? A false anointing. There's a lot of false anointing. If there are false teachers, the false teacher has to have a false anointing. Are you here? How can a false teacher have a real anointing? Huh? But you see, it looks good. Sounds good. Lord, Lord, have we not done all these things in your name? We're probably going to have to get into that tomorrow afternoon. What is our attitude concerning submission to the Lord? Turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That's another way of saying, submit to my lordship. Put my yoke on. Put my lordship on. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The reason the load is heavy is because we've not submitted to his lordship. A glad submission to take his yoke upon us. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A glad submission to enter into his lordship, to recognize it. A willing obedience. Hebrews 5:9 in the Amplified Bible says, he became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who give heed and obey him. To whom did he become the author and source of eternal salvation? To all those who give heed and obey him. Submit to his lordship. That's Hebrews 5:9. The lordship of Jesus Christ implies absolute ownership of the believer and all that he is and all that he has. You mean I'm going to have to submit everything I have and everything I am to the Lord? Why not? Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. You see, the weight may not necessarily be sin, but they're weights. They hold you down. They drag you down. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? You see, you can't even do whatever you want to with your body. It's not yours. We were singing a chorus not too long ago in Winter Haven. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Then we began to sing. In my hands, Lord, be glorified. In my feet, Lord, in my mouth, Lord, be glorified. All of a sudden, the weight and the implications of that just flooded over me. I said, Lord, everything that I do with my feet, does it glorify you? Everything I do with my hands, glorify you? Does everything I do with my mouth, say with my mouth, and everything else I do with my mouth, does it glorify you? If it doesn't, it's sin. For whatsoever is not of faith, it's sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin becomes pretty narrow as you walk with the Lord. Let's read on. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? Paul goes to the extreme to explain it. He said, shall I take a member of Christ and unite with a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said he shall be one flesh. You become one with that which you unite with. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that makes Jesus the Lord, joined unto the Lord, is one spirit. You move as if the Spirit of the Lord Jesus is guiding you. Is there a scripture that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? That my mind would become his mind, that my will would become his will, his will become my will. God would become one spirit with him. What would happen in this earth if we would become one spirit with him? We must submit to his lordship. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without of the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You can't do with your body whatever you want to do. You can't gorge it with food. You can't abuse it. It's not yours to abuse. You know, God is speaking about some of these things in this hour. We're to be a disciplined people. Amen? A discreet people. In all of the habits of our life and what we do with our body. Because our body doesn't belong to us. Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. If you've been bought with a price, you're not your own anymore. Like the Old Testament prophet that went down to the slave market and bought his wife back. And she submitted to him. You own me now. You know what he did? He restored her to her previous position in the house. She didn't know what to expect. But he restored her. She was bought back. You've been purchased, bought with a price. The price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that made him the Lord. That made him the Christ. That set him apart as the one God ordained to be the Lord. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are both God. You see, for the most part, we've been undisciplined people. You know, the Lord showed me something. I say the Lord showed it to me. I believe it was the Lord that impressed it upon me. Let me rephrase that. The Lord just impressed upon me something about years ago about the holiness Pentecostal movement. I know that won't offend any of you because maybe some of you came out of that, but you're free, amen? But the holiness Pentecostal movement of you got to wear your hair this way, you got to wear your dress this way, you've got to have, you know, everything's got to be just so. They were the biggest backbiters and gossipers and eaters that there were. That's right.
all those ladies with buns are fat. I'm serious. That was just an observation I made. They were backbiters. They were eaters. You know what that was? That was a form of expression of rebellion. I've got to wear my hair this way. I've got to dress this way. So I'm going to do something else. I'm going to eat. Really? It's a form of not submitting to the Lordship of Jesus. You see, every area of our life has to come into line. Every area. We must become, in this end time, a very disciplined people. God is really bringing us into discipline. Are we not an army? Well, how effective is an undisciplined army? Huh? God's got an army marching through the land. We've all got to be in step. We've all got to be in one spirit. We've all got to be in accord, walking the same way, saying the same thing, submitting under the Lordship of Jesus, submitting under the leadership that God's placed in the body of Christ, if we're going to be that one army, going forth with the same purpose, to set the captives free. The Lordship of Jesus Christ implies absolute ownership of the believer in all that he has. Possessions, business, home, treasures, money, investments, friends, husband, wife, children, intellect, abilities, recreation, etc., etc., etc. If his absolute ownership is not acknowledged in your life, his reign has been rejected. Have you never heard that phrase? It's not in the Bible, but yet it agrees very much with the word. He is either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. That means you can't do what you want to do. You can't go where you want to go. You can't even wear what you want to wear. You have to go where he tells you to go, say what he tells you to say, and wear what he tells you to wear. Because when you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, all these things comes into life, and we don't have to preach the clothesline. Have you noticed that everyone here is modestly dressed? And nobody's told you what to wear? Amazing. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know it's that way all around the country? When I was co-pastoring in Lafayette, Louisiana, we had a ministry of about 1,000 people there. But this one young lady came in with a chip on her shoulder. She'd come in with short shorts and a halter top on. But the Lord kind of showed us what she was doing was just waiting for somebody to say something. Boy, you saints. You know what? Not anyone said anything to her. She sat down, she heard the word. She'd leave, and I can imagine she was so miserable. They didn't hear anything. I was waiting for it, and they didn't. She'd come back and hear the word. But you know, it was really interesting to notice, every time she came back, she had a little more clothes on. Why? The word was working. The word was working until she was fully clothed and modestly clothed. Praise God. The word will do its work. And during the hippie age, we used to say, you know, you get a hippie saved and he'll take a bath. And it was true. He'll cut his hair and take a bath. When he submits to the Lordship of Jesus. But you see, the same principle applies to us. There's another thing that enters in here as we think about the Lordship of Jesus, and that's the Ananias-Sapphira, the Ananias and Sapphira spirit. You know what the Ananias and Sapphira spirit is? It's professing to give all, and professing to give unto the Lordship of Jesus, and professing to submit unto the Lordship of Jesus, while secretly keeping back a part of self. Lord, you can be Lord over everything, but everybody thinks I've made you Lord. You'll have. You know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Their problem was, they had not totally submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Now, that's a different way of looking at it, isn't it? Well, had they? See, that wasn't required of them. Peter didn't tell them they had to do, bring it all. But they were dishonest. I believe the root cause of their dishonesty was that they hadn't submitted to the Lordship of Jesus to begin with. Are we guilty of professing to recognize Christ's absolute ownership while denying it in practice? He is Lord, he is Lord. Then once you get through, I want to go home. Are you aware that Satan will claim lordship to every area of your life that you exclude from the Lordship of Jesus Christ? You see, there are no gray areas in the Bible. It's either black or white. You're either in or out.
There's no fence walking. And I told my Bible school students, I probably told every class for 4 years as I taught Bible college, if you profess to walk on the fence, you never fall off on the right side. You always fall off on the wrong side of the fence if you're trying to walk the fence. Now, there's really no fence. You're either in or out. He's Lord or he's not Lord. You're saved or you're not saved. You're walking with God or you're not walking with God. And Jesus is either Lord of all or we've not made him Lord. And the enemy will try to claim the lordship of every area that you exclude from the lordship of Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 46.
And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He said, wait a minute now. You're calling me Lord, but you're not doing the things which I say. Jesus said, how can it be?
And then he gave the same example. This is Luke's rendition of the same thing about building a house on the solid rock or building it on the sand. You see, disobedience disannuls all professed recognition of his lordship. Let me say that again. Disobedience disannuls all professed recognition of his lordship. Let me say it another way. What we perform drowns the voice of what we profess. What we perform or what we do drowns the voice of what we profess. I submit to you that in this end time, we are becoming such a body of believers that we are to judge one another not by what we say, but by what we do. Even in the charismatic faith end time realm, talk is still cheap. Even among Bible teachers, talk is cheap. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of undisciplined preachers. I'm picking on us now. A lot of undisciplined. Why? They've not really made Jesus Lord. And I know if I don't straighten up, I go back to woodshed. Amen. See, I know that. The Lord has just laid up on my heart about every 2 weeks just to lock myself away for 24 hours. Just to search my own heart. Keep things straight. Keep things right. That I might submit to and recognize his lordship. Because you see, there are other people watching us. And your life is the only testimony they may ever see. Your life is the only testimony they may ever see. I was in a little coffee shop the other day in Winter Haven, having a cup of coffee. And there was probably 40 people in that restaurant. And I'm not exaggerating when I say 40 people. There was probably 40 people in that restaurant. And there was no wino in that restaurant. When I walked into the counter and got my coffee and went, it was one of those where you get, you know, yourself hurt and you pay, they don't come to you, you go to the counter. And I got my cup of coffee and I went over in the corner. And that wino was sitting clear on the other end of the restaurant, around a corner, a 90-degree corner. He was clear over on the other side. Before long, he was sitting right over here. And he looked at me and he said, I'm hungry. Let me ask you a question. Why do you suppose he picked me out of all those 40 people? I was dressed just like everybody else. And I looked around and said, am I that strange? Yes. We ought to be that strange. I took him to the counter, bought him a hamburger and a cup of coffee. We went and sat down at a little table. He said, I need a drink bad. I said, I can't buy you booze. But I thought I can tell you about somebody who can set you free. His name is Jesus. He says, you're not real. I said, I'm real. I said, I won't buy your booze, but I'll buy you a motel room. Keep you off the street. Ah, you wouldn't. I said, let's go. Okay, he said. I went and bought him a motel room. See, we've got to let our life follow up what we speak. Now, I haven't attained totally in that area. I wouldn't stand here and tell you I have. But my desire is there. Because I desire before the Lord Jesus to be pure and holy and clean that I might be used as a vessel in this end time. That's my only desire, is to be used as a vessel. There must have been something that old wino, with all the other people in that restaurant, came and sat down. He didn't look at anybody else. He just walked around and sat down
and looked me right in the eye and said, I'm hungry. Just about like that. And I didn't bat an eye. I said, well, let's get you something to eat. You see, when you give unto the poor, you lend unto the Lord. And the Lord's not going to be obligated to you. He'll repay you again. Amen. But God is doing something in this hour. A fresh thing. There is a seriousness coming on the body of Christ about serving God. It's not a game to serve God anymore. In fact, it's becoming very unpopular. Because the road is getting narrow. Christ Jesus will take second place to nothing or no one. For he is Lord of all. Point number three, the recognition of his lordship. Good homiletical three-point sermon. Question. How are you managing as Lord of your own life? You know, the Lord asked me that question. And I started figuring it up, and I wasn't batting too good. My batting average wasn't too good. You know, it's something when you are seated at the table with your family. And this happened a couple of years ago. But it made me see what I was, what I had been. My youngest daughter spilled her milk at the table. And she was waiting for Dad's reaction. She looked at her mother right in my presence and she said, Mama, Daddy didn't get mad. I mean, it so shocked her that I hadn't gotten mad. You mean to tell me, as I meditated on that, I said, do you mean to tell me that the enemy was able to steal my joy and steal my victory over 20 cents worth of milk? Isn't that something? 20 cents worth of milk. The Lord taught me some lessons and some little ways that are just, I'll tell you what, they've been precious. But it showed me what I was. I'm not the same person that I used to be. And praise God, he's not finished with me yet. I wasn't doing too well in managing my own life. I got so low as a denominational pastor that I played sick one Sunday morning so I didn't have to preach. Now that's managing my own life pretty well, isn't it? I wasn't sick. I told my wife, I know I'm sick. Let's give somebody else a preach. And I was just so miserable inside. I wasn't doing too good managing my own life. See, you folks think all those preachers walk in victory all the time. Whether we do or not, we have to put on a good show. Oh, that's what we thought. You see, it's time to be honest. It's time to be honest. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. That the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Who will do it? The Lord. When? When you submit to his lordship. You can only call him Lord if you've made him Lord. Hebrews 13:6. Run down a few scriptures here as we wind it down. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord, the one that I've made Lord of my life, is my helper. Therefore, I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. I don't care what man thinks. I don't care what man says. I've made Jesus Lord, and he's my helper. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, any of his promise. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You can rejoice when you've made Jesus Lord. You can really rejoice when there's nothing between you and the Savior, and nothing between you and him whom you've made Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Back one chapter 5, verse 8.
Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Powerful verse. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. You see, the position, what that is saying is that the position of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives cannot be maintained apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean, you know, a friend of mine used that on a Mormon. He said to the Mormon, can you say Jesus is Lord? The Mormon said, yeah, Jesus is Lord. And he goes, he can say it. That's not what it means. You can get about any heathen just simply to say the words, but just saying the words. You see, that's mere profession with words. You can't say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and that you're submitted to Him and committed your life unto Him except by the Holy Ghost, because you can't do it on your own. See, you can't do it on your own. That's what it comes down to. We can't make Jesus Lord on our own power and our own strength. Acts 1:8 says you shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You receive power. You do not have the power to make Jesus Lord of your life apart from the Holy Spirit. Amen? One final verse, 1 Corinthians 6:20. I heard that, Si. For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. It says, glorify God. Is the desire of your heart to glorify God? One of the greatest ways that you can glorify your Heavenly Father in this life is to submit to the Lordship of Jesus, His Son. The most simple definition I know of someone who has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is one who has become not only a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the Word. Amen? Let's stand together. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Go ahead and give us a key. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer, in Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. You're my fortress, you're my deliverer, in you will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord, you heard our hearts cry tonight. Even as we stand in your presence, you know the yearning within our hearts, whether we desire to make you Lord, or, Lord, whether we desire to continue to do and go our own way. Father, mold our hearts. Change us to be conformed. and to the image of your Son. May we willingly submit to Him who gave His all that we might have life. Father, cause us to know for each of our own lives the things that we need to do to make Jesus Lord of our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing upon your people. I thank you, Father, that your angels encamp around about them, that no evil, no harm, no danger shall come near them, for they dwell in the secret place of the Most High. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Lord bless you. Amen. Have a good night. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.